Hello, my name is John Calladine, and welcome to this podcast on charities and trading and direct taxes, corporation tax and income tax. Although I'm not proposing to cover VAT in this podcast, I will refer to it from time to time. I'm sure you continue to come across the expression from those connected with charities, "We are a charity and we do not pay tax." How far from the truth can that be? Charities in the 21st century have a diverse range of activities, which would include charitable projects themselves, business activities, and other areas which will need careful scrutiny before being sure that they are not classified as business and therefore not subject to direct taxation. It is, of course, not uncommon to come across charities with trading wings, and in these cases, a separate trading subsidiary may have been set up to cater for the activity. Any profits being made, gift aided back up the line to the main trust to ensure that no corporation tax or other form of taxation is payable. The most common of these, of course, are charity trading shops. You see them in the high street, whether it is Help the Aged, Oxfam, or whatever. These are business activities and carried on to raise funds for the purpose of the main charity and are usually held in a separate legal entity, i.e. the trading subsidiary. There is no confusion here. Obviously a trade, but the activities of other aspects of a charity need much more careful consideration. Let us just first consider what is trading. Trading is a term used in relation to income and corporation tax to describe activities which involve the sale of goods or services to a third party as part of a commercial enterprise, i.e. with the aim of generating a profit or surplus. Deciding if an activity is a trade depends on the facts of each case. Some cases are obvious and others not. Perhaps at this point one should just reiterate the fact that voluntary income, gifts and donations, legacies, or income from investments are not considered trading and therefore are generally exempt from tax if applied for charitable objects. Incidentally, if such money is not applied for charitable objects, a loss of exemption applies to an amount equal to any non-charitable expenditure. I came across a case like this years ago, before public benefit was dreamt of, when the HM Revenue and Customs sought to assess the charity for tax on its expenditure, as in their opinion this was not charitable. A general presumption is that contributions made to charities will be applied to charitable objects. Under charity law, charities are only allowed to trade in the course of carrying out the primary purpose of the charity, as long as any surpluses are applied to the charitable objects. Do not forget that under the charity's governing document, there may be further restrictions on the right to trade. So whether you are preparing a set of accounts, independent examination, or audit, one should always read the governing document. One of the purposes of the Charity Commission is to ensure that the charity is acting within its objects, its trust, and is carrying out charitable purposes. A charity which strays into trading activities will bring scrutiny and investigation by the Charity Commission, let alone considering the taxation implications. What is a charitable activity, and what is a trading activity? A charity operates under one of the main objects as set out by the Charities Act 2006, that is, the advancement of religion, relief of poverty, further education, environment issues, etc. However, the expression public benefit has now been introduced via the Charities Act, and therefore a charity needs to ensure that it delivers services that are seen to be for public benefit. Consider the case of an organisation that has been set up as a charity, has what appears suitable objects, and delivers what it considers to be charitable objectives. Then down the line comes investigation by the Charity Commission under public benefit, and suddenly the charity is faced with its charitable status being withdrawn because its activities are not seen to be for public benefit. We are aware, of course, that this is a problem facing independent schools, and already there have been reports made by the Charity Commission on Pacific schools and religious charities. As time goes by, they will be spreading their net further afield, to ensure that these are set up for public benefit. So if the public benefit test is failed, what are they? Not a charity. Are they now subject to taxation? Will the taxation be backdated? And suddenly, are there arrears of corporation tax or whatever arising? Is there a changed status? This potentially could be a minefield for the auditor and independent examiner, let alone responsibilities of trustees. So let's look at different aspects of a charity's activities and consider those exempt under Section 505 ICTA 1988 and the extra statutory concessions. Primary purpose trading. Trade undertaken in carrying out the primary purposes of the charity are exempt to taxation. This could be the provision of educational services in exchange for fees. It could be the sale of goods produced by the beneficiaries of a disabled charity. It could be a religious bookstall. It could be counselling services, etc. Other forms of trading are called non-primary purpose trading. These will obviously be the sale of goods to the general public to raise funds, but would also include sale of tickets for a concert for a charity, a cafe, a restaurant linked to a charity, and similar. You need to realise that many charities will stray into non-primary purpose trading in some form or another. These are potentially taxable, but there are exemptions if certain limits are not exceeded. Where the total income and resources of a charity are less than £20,000 per annum, you can have a maximum of £5,000 trading income in a year without taxation implications. Likewise, to a total level of 25% of a charity's total income and resources can be free of tax to a maximum of £50,000 per annum. Therefore, a charity with a total income and resources of £200,000 can have trading activities to a level of £50,000 in 1 year, but no more. This is very useful, of course, for the smaller charity and will take many out of the loop. When it comes to taxation issues, there are, of course, many areas which need special consideration, and let's just look at some of these. Lotteries. Conducting a lottery is trading, but will not be contrary to general charity law restrictions and is exempt from tax. It has to be conducted within the requirements of the 2005 Gambling Act, where profits are applied solely for the purpose of a charity. Sale of donated goods. Generally speaking, these are considered not to be trading as long as the goods are donated and not substantially altered or improved prior to sale. Care needs to be taken here. The sale of donated goods is actually zero-rated for VAT purposes, not exempt, and this can cause its own problems. The definition of a business is different for VAT law as compared to direct taxation, so be wary. Letting of rooms. If a charity undertakes the letting of premises on a regular basis and provides additional services such as conferences, equipment, staffing and catering, this may be considered carrying on a trade rather than rental income assessed under Schedule A. Obviously, if the letting of rooms and conferences are to other charitable organisations, especially those connected to the charity, then there is no problem. But certainly letting to business organisations may be considered as trading. Sponsorship. Where a business gives money to a charity and receives nothing in return, this is treated as a straight donation. The donor can take some publicity without jeopardising the position. However, the activity will move into a trade where the charity incorporates a sponsor's logo or corporate colours into promotional or other literature. Charities may allow their logo to be used in exchange for payment. If payment is made for the number of times the logo is used, then payment is more likely to be a royalty and will be treated as an annual payment and not a trade. Fundraising. Profits from fundraising are exempt from corporation tax and income tax if they fall within the relevant VAT concession. Here again, note the crossover with VAT legislation. an event must be organised and promoted to raise money for the benefit of the charity or another qualified body, and this includes trading subsidiaries. An event must be held for fundraising purposes, like a dinner dance, a fair, a fete, festival, jumble sale, auction, etc. There is a limit to the number of events that could be held in any financial year, 15 or less, where all the events are exempt. 16 events or more, no exemption applies. And if the weekly turnover is over £1,000, this is not an event. Do listen to my specific podcast on the subject of fundraising and taxation implications. So, what tax is payable and when? As regards direct taxation, you have to look at the legal entity. If the charity is a company or a corporate body, then corporation tax applies. If it is an unincorporated trust, income tax applies. I find now, in my practice at Eastbourne, it is becoming very common for HM Revenue and Customs to issue corporation tax returns to charities. The problem is, of course, that sometimes a charity chooses completely to ignore these and then put them into one corner or into a drawer, saying, we do not pay tax. Then, of course, penalties arise. That is why it is a good idea to have your office as a registered office, so the form arrives on your doorstep and someone deals with it knowing what they are doing. It's amazing, not only with charities, but also with businesses, when brown envelopes from HM Revenue and Customs arrive, they're never opened, but put in a back drawer. By failing to submit a corporation tax return, irrespective of whether there is any tax payable, makes a charity liable to a £100 penalty, and it can grow. It is an area of my practice that we are very careful about, as the revenue will issue tax returns to charities, but not always. Care needs to be taken, as a charity subject to corporation tax is due to pay its tax 9 months after the end of the accounting year, although a return is due 12 months after the end of the accounting period. If income tax applies, then it is the usual self-assessment rules. The return has to be filed online and tax paid by 31st of January or earlier if a paper return. Before we finish, let us just consider a practical case. Say we have a charity operating a residential facility, that is a care facility for adults with learning difficulties. Residents live in, with charity workers working alongside. There is a garden shop open to the public with a cafe, and donations and grants are received. There is also sponsorship, fundraising, sale of produce, and other various forms of incoming resources. So let's look at some of these. Donations and voluntary income and grants for general running costs will be considered exempt from taxation. If they were running a shop with the sale of donated goods, this would be exempt. However, any bought-in goods would be subject to taxation. There is a cafe, and this will be subject to taxation on its profits. If, however, because the cafe or the shop was set up for employees who are beneficiaries of the charities, i.e. handicapped or similar, this is a charitable activity. There could, however, be VAT implications. If the charity is receiving a grant from a local authority to provide services, and as long as those services were of a charitable nature, then it is not a trading activity. However, there may be VAT implications. Workshop or site shop. If a shop is selling produce, it is a non-primary purpose trading activity and therefore could be subject to taxation. However, again, if the shop was staffed by beneficiaries of the charity, this potentially could be exempt. Consultancy. If a charity sells their services and expertise to other organisations, this income is potentially taxable and again VATable. Sponsorship. Let's say in return for a donation of £20,000, the sponsor has their logo and name on all sale tickets from the shops. This income would be taxable. Well, plenty of food for thought, and I've not really touched on all the various VAT implications in this podcast. Thank you for listening to this podcast.